morning. It's good to be with all of you today. We're going to continue our study in Romans chapter 12, looking at the subject of using our gifts. There is a account that after World War II, a group of German students volunteered to help rebuild an English cathedral that had been severely damaged by German bombs. And as the work progressed, they became concerned about a large statue of Jesus, because the arms were outstretched, but beneath the beneath that was an inscription that said, "Come unto me," but they were not able to restore the hands properly, or trying to figure out how to restore the hands, which had been completely destroyed. And after much discussion, they decided to leave the statue as it was, and they changed the inscription to "Christ has no hands but ours." And, you know, that's a phrase that we're familiar with, because, you know, there's a song that's been written, "Christ has no hands but our hands, he has no feet but our feet." And I think that's really one of the things that we recognize in Romans chapter 12, is that, you know, we have a responsibility to use ourselves, to use our gifts. And we'll reread the text that we've been looking at, Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8. "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." The things that we have learned in the lessons preceding this is that one of the things that we need to have is humility. That we need to have humility, which should be our attitude of service. We also recognized last week that we are many members in one body. And so the final installment that we're going to look at on these verses really brings our attention to using these gifts. So Paul uses the expression "having then gifts." And, you know, it's familiar to some things that we see elsewhere in the Scriptures, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But what are these gifts that we have? And it begs the question, what kind of gifts? Are they spiritual gifts? Because we recognize that when we were studying 1 Corinthians, that there were miraculous gifts that people had at that time to help confirm the Word of God. So when you look at the list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that was read this morning, one of the things that Paul brought out in 1 Corinthians 12 was the misuse of the gifts, that there were regulations on how things were to be done in worship and when those things could be done. So the context of 1 Corinthians 12 is in regard to that misuse, but the context of Romans 12 is different. I believe that Romans 12 is talking about the obligation of every Christian to individually offer his body as a spiritual sacrifice, is what we've been talking about in the context of Romans 12. It's also interesting to note that even though Romans appears before the book of 1 Corinthians in our Bibles, that Romans was written after 1 Corinthians, probably about 50 to 60 years. And so there is more of a de-emphasis on the miraculous, as we see that here. So it's just interesting to see that it seems that there is less of an emphasis on miraculous gifts, but on the things that we all as Christians should be recognizing and doing in our life as Christians. So the point is that Paul lists some things that we are to do, that we are to use these things in an activity of service. And so let's look at these functions that that Paul lists for us today. Because we ask, you know, what is my function? How do I determine the functions that I have? And so there are things that are listed here, and we'll look at those each one by one. First of all, prophecy. The Greek word prophetia is described or defined as the speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. And of course, in the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, there were those that were prophets that spoke, you know, because they had something that had been revealed to them. But you know, prophecy can also be used in the sense of somebody that is preaching or teaching or speaking forth the word of God or speaking forth the mind or the counsel of God. And so you see that used both ways. So if we apply this to ourselves, you know, we're going to preach the word, we're going to teach the word, we're going to take what God has given us, and we're going to be able to tell that to others. And there are those that have ability in that regard. And we should strive as Christians to develop that ability in ourselves. You know, there are several preachers that I know today that are very, I guess you could say, successful. And they have developed themselves in the way that they can speak, and their study habits and their ability to teach the whole counsel of God. And you know, I'm so old, I remember them back when they were young, and some of these people that I know worked with my father in preacher training programs, and they're not the same now as they were back then. They needed training, you know, when you heard them before when they were starting out, but the fact was that they had a heart to learn the will of God. They had a heart to preach it, and they improved in the way that they studied and they delivered those things. And so when we look at these different functions that Paul lays out for us here, you know, beware of thinking, well, that's somebody else's responsibility, or that's not my gift, that's not my thing. Well, there's a lot of things that at one time or another we were not very good at until we got up and tried and practiced, and it all came from a willingness to learn and a desire to do these things God would have us to do. But those that are preaching, they need to be involved in that. And those that teach, whether it's young people or one-on-one or in a public way, to do those things. And it certainly is very, very helpful. It's also akin to the next point, which is ministering. And this is derived from the Greek word diakonia, which means to serve. And it's used to describe any type of service. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul tells Timothy, "But be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And so he's telling Timothy that these are ways that you can serve, that you need to be watchful in these things and fulfill your ministry, fulfill your service. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, you know, Paul commends one of the ladies that are there at Rome. He says, "I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also." And so she is recognized because of her service. But not only that, Paul is recommending that others give her service as well. And so the word ministry or serving is a very broad term, and I think it fits, you know, what everybody does here in different ways. Sometimes those acts of service are not seen by others. They're behind the scenes. And there are many that serve others that don't make a great pretense of, "Hey, everybody, here's what I did today. This is, you know, I fixed a big meal for the Gasaway family." And, you know, sometimes Jan will post those things on Facebook, you know, "Thank you for this meal," and she'll identify who did it. And that's nice that she recognizes those individuals who did those things, but the ones who did it didn't do it for the recognition, probably.
Yep.
We don't do those things for the recognition. We do it because of a heart of service. And so there are different ways that we can each serve one another. And it's also, in a more official capacity, it's also a word that's used to describe those who are qualified and appointed to serve as deacons. It's a position of service or ministry or serving. We also are told by Paul that we need to teach. And this is a word that's also a generic or general word. It's one who has enough knowledge of God's word to provide instruction in God's word and has a responsibility to do that. And so there may be someone that is assigned to do that in our relationship here as Christians at Elliottsville. There are those who are assigned to teach and should take on that responsibility seriously and make sure that they have an understanding of what it is that they're going to teach, because it's very hard to teach someone else something that you don't understand yourself. In my particular line of work with Konica Minolta, when we do training, we support so many products. There's unfortunately times that we are asked to go train on something that we've never seen before. And so we're kind of learning it at the same time the customer does. That's not an ideal situation, and certainly that's not the way that we would want to handle the Word of God. Well, you know, I'm going to stand up here and teach, and this is the first time I've read this too. That should not be the way that we handle that. And certainly teaching and instructing God's Word is a very grave responsibility, because you want to be accurate in what it is that you're saying. And there is certainly, as I've learned over the years, questions that come up from time to time in Bible classes that right before the bell usually that you may not know the answer. And when I first started, you know, teaching, I felt a responsibility to come up with some kind of answer to those questions, but I also learned that it's rather than talking off the top of your head, sometimes it's better to say that you don't know and that you'll look into something and you'll study it further. And so the reason for that is you want to be very careful in the way that you handle the teaching and instructing of God's Word. And there are different, you know, variations of this function. In Acts chapter 18, we see where the Word of God is taught privately. It, you know, in Acts chapter 18, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So when Aquila and Priscilla heard Philip teaching, they knew that there were some things that he was leaving out, because he didn't have a full understanding of Christianity. And so they took him aside rather than chastising him publicly. They took him aside to teach him. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, we have the example where Paul tells Titus that the young women should be taught to love their husbands, to love their children. Who's doing that? Well, the older women are doing that. The older women are teaching the younger women. And that's a role, that's a responsibility that we should that we should be taking care of in the local church. And I don't want to identify who the older women are, because you may not think you're old. But the ones that are more mature in their knowledge, will say, of the Word of God, take on that responsibility to help those who need that. And it can be a great, great service to help us all grow spiritually. In James chapter 3 and verse 1, there's a general statement that's made here. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And so I believe James here is talking about those that are teaching publicly, and that they need to take this responsibility seriously. That it is something that you should really exercise your ability to to learn and to study and to make sure the things that you're teaching are accurate. We also have a responsibility, Paul says, to exhort one another or to build up. So some people have an ability to do that, to build up and strengthen others. And that should be something that we all strive to do. And it's something that many people find difficult because it's in a place of work, one of the major complaints is that nobody, you know, ever tells me when I'm doing a good job, but if I do something wrong, then they're always quick to point that out. I think that's pretty common in a lot of places, that a boss or supervisor or somebody in a place, a position of authority, is quick to take to task someone that may need that. But you need some encouragement, you know, when there's something good that's done, when there's an opportunity to build up and strengthen others. And so, you know, going back to the example of the Gassaways posting that they received this help or somebody brought them a meal, I think that's a good thing for everybody to see. Number one, it shows everybody that needs are being taken care of and that maybe I need to help take care of those needs too if I'm not one that's doing that. But it's also an encouragement to the one who did that to know that those things were appreciated. Many years ago, you know, when my grandmother was still living, she would send us a little bit of money on our birthdays. And one time my mother told all of us that if Grandma didn't start receiving some thank you notes or a phone call, that was going to stop. Because the only way that she knew if we ever got the gift that she sent us is when the bank sent her the canceled check. And so, you know, that's a way that we needed to be encouraged to let her know that we appreciated that. And so when we know that somebody has done something good, that somebody has been an encouragement to us, if, you know, the song leader, you know, does an outstanding job, tell them that they did that. And I'm not going to tell you to compliment the preacher, but, you know, sometimes there are statements that are made of all the sermons that I've heard, that was one of them. You know, that's not really a compliment. But we need, when we hear something good, when we see something good, when somebody has done something kind for us, or when we see somebody that just needs some encouragement, maybe they're having a rough time. Maybe the family responsibilities or other pressures that are on them that are weighing on them. And just telling somebody, I see what you're doing. I know that you're fulfilling these responsibilities, and I really appreciate the example that you're setting for others in taking care of these needs. There are all kinds of things that we can do to build one another up. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, the Hebrew writer says, "Brethren, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So one of the ways that you can prevent being hardened by sin and prevent from falling away is to be an encouragement to one another, to exhort one another daily. We also are to give, we're to share. And there are some that find themselves abundantly blessed, and they can help out in ways that maybe others are not able to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 11, Paul says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits in your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God." I believe what is being brought out here is that there are some that are blessed in such a way that they can sow seed for fruits of righteousness, that they have the ability to help, and they ought to take advantage of that. And if it's within our ability, you know, then it's our responsibility to take care of those kind of needs. Paul emphasizes this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He tells Timothy to command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches in the living God, but who gives us richly all things to enjoy. What does he tell those to do with what they have? He says, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so they ought to take the opportunity that they have to bless others. Not be haughty in their riches, but use what they have in the kingdom of God. Paul also tells us that one of the gifts people have is to lead, and or to shepherd. And this likely is referring to the work of elders or pastors or overseers, that they have a responsibility to lead, and they have a responsibility to shepherd or to watch out for souls. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive as they watch out for your souls, as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. I know we've had several lessons in the past year on the qualifications of elders and deacons. I think those are pretty much firm in our mind. But those that are in that position, if a church has elders serving in that capacity, then they need to use that role that they're in to fulfill their responsibilities, primarily to watch out for souls and to be an example of a spiritually minded person, and to shepherd the flock that is among them. Also, Paul tells us a gift that some have is to show mercy, to be loving. I think this is best illustrated by Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. Basically what Jesus says, those that saw something that needed to be done, they did it. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And of course, the argument that Jesus says some would make is, I never saw you in any of these conditions. When did I ever see you in hungry? When did I ever see you in prison? When did I ever see you naked and need clothes? And Jesus said, when you saw somebody else that needed that and you took care of it, it's just like you were doing it for me. And when you saw that need and you didn't take care of it, it was just like you didn't do it for me. And so showing mercy, showing loving kindness, it's very well illustrated here. And that is one of the attributes that we should have as Christians. And it can be expressed in many different ways. It can be expressed in visiting the sick or helping to aid those who are bereaved, or like Jesus says, ministering to those who are in prison, or showing mercy in whatever way that it might be. The point here is that you're the type of person that when you see a need, you don't wait for somebody else to go do it and hope that somebody else will do it. You should take care of that. I don't think that Paul's list here is an exhaustive list that we can just use this as a check. Well, I've done this, 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 and this. But it illustrates that there's just a great variety of functions in the body of Christ. And the overarching principle here is an attitude of service and being a self-sacrifice, as Paul started out the chapter talking about. That how am I going to be one that gives of myself? How am I going to be a living sacrifice? And so there are lots of things in here that we can use to grow thereby. And so how do we do that? Well, we can explore the possibilities, and we can take advantage of opportunities to learn. As I've already mentioned, there are those that are interested in teaching the gospel, and there's lots of different congregations that will have a, quote, preacher training program, where somebody that's interested in preaching can go work with somebody that's been doing that for a number of years. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for a church that has the ability to provide that to a young man, that's a great, great thing. So somebody that that wants to fulfill that role of being a teacher or a preacher, there's resources out there to do that. And I did that, you know, one summer when I was down at Florida College. I went up to Dayton, Ohio. It's actually West Carrollton, Ohio, which is close to Dayton, and worked with Mike Grushon there for a summer. And it was a good experience for me. I don't know how good an experience it was for the people that had to listen to me, but I appreciated the work that they did with me there and the things that they had me involved in. There's so many different things that they had me do that were beneficial to me. We also can take advantage of experienced brethren and being with them. And perhaps maybe you don't feel comfortable, you know, teaching somebody else or having a private Bible study with another individual. Well, you could go with someone else that is comfortable with it and learn from them. Basically, you know, try serving in all areas that are open to you. Inquire, for advice on these different things. Be willing to try everything that you can, and don't give up after just the first few tries. Like I said before, there's I'm not going to name the individual, but there was one person that's a very good speaker today. But when I heard him fresh out of college, it was very, I'd say it was painful to the ears because of the way that he talked. He took pauses in places that didn't seem like there'd be a pause, you know. And so just about every sentence didn't feel complete because there were all these pauses. And so you really, as a listener, had to pay attention and try not to be distracted by the way that he spoke. But that was something that worked out. That was something that after practice, it was not an issue anymore. And if you heard him today, you would never have thought that would have ever been an issue. But what if, you know, what brethren had been impatient with that? And said, you know, I think you should go get some career counseling because this is not really the thing that you ought to be doing. You know, everybody can't do this, and maybe you're one of the ones that can't. And so I don't think anybody ever told him that. I hope not. Well, if they did, he didn't take that advice, and he kept on trying and did well. So don't give up because you know, failures may be due to inexperience, not due to a lack of potential in a certain area. We can also inquire for advice from others. Certainly, you know, we don't always see ourselves the way that others see us, and our pride can sometimes get in the way. And you know, pride is one of the things that Paul said here in Romans chapter 12 that we needed to put away. Others may see our strengths and weaknesses much more clearly than we can, and we need to take advantage of that and be open to that kind of advice, and be open to when others will tell us where we are weak, and learn from those things. And ask for help, inquire for advice, especially from those who are, you know, mature Christians. You know, if a congregation that has elders, probably those men are spiritually mature, or certainly should be, and are those that have had years and years of service in the kingdom of God that can be helpful to us. So the point here in this part of Romans is that we need to be diligent. We need to take these responsibilities seriously. And Paul wants all the Roman brethren to realize that they can all serve. And they can all serve in different ways. And that they may not be able to serve in one way as good as somebody else can. But there are ways that they can all look at what is needed in the body of Christ and find something that they can do and function well to make sure that the body has everything that it needs. And so I hope this will be an encouragement to you, not to be one that is a bench warmer, but one that will see the opportunities that you have to be an encouragement to others and work in the kingdom of God. So the lesson is yours if you have not ever responded to the gospel of Christ, and there's something that you've been putting off. And if there's anything that we can help you with this morning, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.